if not the majority of it, comes down to that we want to make people around us happy. We want the people that are around us, we want to make them happy because we love them. We want to see, you know, for example, we want to spend time with our family because they like seeing you, we like seeing them, it makes them happy, and you love them and you want to make them happy. You know, Christmas Day, Boxing Day, Christmas Eve, whenever it is you do it, we cook an obscene amount of food just for one meal or just for two meals. And again, why? Why do we spend all this time cooking this food and making sure the roast potatoes are exactly as they should be? It's because we love the people that are around us. We want to see them happy because we love them. You know, we have parties, we have social events. We do all that sort of socialising with our friends and family. And again, why do we put ourselves through all that? It's because we want to spend time with the people that we love, because we want to make them happy by helping them to enjoy themselves. And maybe most importantly at Christmas, we end up buying and giving so many gifts to people. Again, why do we give so many gifts to people? And it's because, I think, that we want to see the people that we give these gifts to be happy. We want to see them enjoying themselves. We want to see them happy because we love them. We put ourselves through all this stuff, all this pressure and time and everything over Christmas because we want to make the people around us happy because we love them. So we put ourselves through it all because we love them. And you might see where I'm going with this. So that, I would argue that's exactly what God does for us at Christmas. You know, God so loves us, he so loves the world, that he gave his one and only son to us, that whoever believes in his only son, whoever believes in Jesus, will have eternal life and would not die. That's, you might have picked it up, that's Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. But the thing is, when God sent his son Jesus to earth, he knew full well what that was going to lead to. He knew full well that by sending Jesus to earth, he was going to be born, he was going to grow up, and he was going to die a horrific death on the cross for us. But he did it for us anyway because he loves us that much. And I think that's right at the very heart of what Christmas is all about. Yes, it is the birth of Jesus, and we celebrate that Jesus was born a man in a manger. But Jesus, he was born so that he could die on a cross. I mean, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news for everyone here, but eventually we're all going to die. And we're all going to die because we were born. Jesus is the only man that I know of that was born so that he could die. You see, we put ourselves through all this stress and everything for our loved ones because that's what Christmas is about. Making other people happy because we love them. We put ourselves through all that stress. Jesus, he comes to earth and he goes through death. He dies for us. He dies. He goes through death. He goes through death, takes us with him. And that's a different sermon. But the point of Jesus doing it is so that anyone that believes in him shall not perish and shall have eternal life. And that's why we're celebrating Christmas. Jesus being born so he can die. There is no purer example of love than what Jesus does for us. There is no greater sacrifice than what Jesus does for us. There is no greater gift that can ever be given. No greater gift that can ever be given. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, it's chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Or even in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul writes, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that's not of your own doing. It is the gift from God. It's not a gift. It's not one of many gifts. It is the gift from God. That act of love of Jesus being born and the gift of Jesus Christ offering salvation and everlasting life through him is why we get together and sing these songs of worship. We are glorifying him and him only. Like we heard in the reading a moment ago, there's a moment of great joy and happiness throughout the world. And the angels are praising God and they're saying, glory to God in the highest. And it's one of those times when how that is read is how you can sort of see it in your mind's eye. I mean, it could be glory to God in the highest heaven. And when I picture it, I don't particularly see a few angels just sort of standing around going, yay, God's alive, yeah, Jesus is here. No, nothing like that. These angels, they are worshipping, they're radiating love for God the Father who has sent Jesus to earth. So imagine for a minute you're one of these shepherds. You're out in the middle of nowhere looking after your sheep. An angel appears, tells you of the birth of the Messiah, Then after that, thousands and thousands and thousands of angels appear after that. And they all start glorifying God. The angels then leave and go to heaven, and the shepherds, and I love how this part is written. I absolutely love how this part is written. Verse 15 says, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Again, you could read that as these shepherds are standing there, and they're just like, "Oh, should we go to Bethlehem and see what it's all about then?" But it's not. No, they drop everything. They're like, "Let's go. Let's go and see what this thing is all about. Let's go now." And they drop everything and leave to go and have a look. So these shepherds, then, they've all rushed off. They've all dropped what they're doing. They've set off at pace, with haste. They charge into Bethlehem. And then there will be a picture up here. They charge into Bethlehem. And as they get there, they run into this scene. Now, I absolutely love this, and I only saw this a couple of days ago. I think this is just before the shepherds come rushing in and start rattling on about angels and all that sort of stuff. Before any gifts have started arriving, before anything started, there is just Mary, exhausted from the birth, just looking down at her son. You've got Joseph, who's just there. He's overwhelmed, contemplating everything that he's got going on. And then there's the baby in the crib, and that's the baby that changes absolutely everything. And this image here is so far away, isn't it, from what Christmas has become now, with all the lights and all the grandeur, the busyness and all the noise we get. But don't get me wrong, I love all that stuff. I love a good party, and I love socializing, and I love seeing my friends and family. But we can't forget that this is what Christmas is about, that the birth of Jesus in a stable. And we have to remember why we have Christmas at all. It's to glorify God for the birth of Jesus. Strip everything else away that we have around Christmas, and that is what you're left with. And I think it's an absolutely fantastic image. So the shepherds received this first announcement that Jesus was born. They received the first announcement. They dropped everything to see what it was all about without a moment's hesitation. And that same message, that same announcement, that same good news, it is still available to us here today. Yeah, we can't necessarily go to Bethlehem to see the newborn baby, but you can read about it. And it's all through the living words of God in the Bible. That same message is just as valid, just as important, just as relevant today, 2,000 years later, as it was. So what I'm going to say, if you're here today and you wouldn't necessarily consider yourself a Christian, if you've not come to see who this Messiah person is yet, I would encourage you that Christmas is the perfect time just to come and have a look, just like those shepherds did all those years ago. And if you want to come and see yourself, consider this a very early Christmas present. It's even got to and from on the front, so you know it's a Christmas present. But if you've not looked at Jesus before, if you've not looked at who this Messiah is, I please take one of these with you. Take it home and have a read. But also, if you are a Christian, we can also look at the shepherd's example and see what they did. After they'd met Jesus, verse 17, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about him. They didn't just keep it to themselves. They went and told everybody that they could see what this was all about. So again, if you're here today and you're a Christian and you last minute Christmas shopping, you don't know what to get or whatever, take one of these, put it in the Christmas card, whatever. There's loads of them at the back. So we've just remembered that during the Christmas period, it is the birth of Jesus that's important. And we give glory to God for it. And with that in mind, we're going to be singing what I consider to be the very best Christmas carol. Actually, I'm going to go further than that and actually say that I think it's one of the best worship songs that I've ever heard. And it's one that I would say you can really let yourself go on a little bit. And as we're coming to sing it, just look at the words on the screen. Listen to what we're singing. And when we sing these words, remember that we are invited to join the triumph of the skies. We're invited to sing with the angelic host who are proclaiming Christ is born in Bethlehem. See, when we sing, remember we're not singing it just, it's not just us here singing this by ourselves. We're singing with all the angels in heaven. We're glorifying the newborn king. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, because his is the kingdom, because his is the power. And to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.